I could listen to music like that all day. I really could. I love piano music, and that's a special song, Mary. We appreciate it very much. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation so rich and free. Sing it. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation so rich and free. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. 1 Corinthians 4:7 asks a question. The question is this: what do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast if you had not received it? Well, in reference to that, James tells us in chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, it reminds us, be not deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good and perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or no shifting shadow. God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today. And every good and every perfect gift that we have received comes down from our Father, the Father of lights. So our text, however, as you and I looked at it today, contains two words. Two words that I find that a lot of people have trouble with, okay? And the aspect, of course, is these words are very powerful words, but they are there and they have to be looked at. The one word is always. You have trouble with the word always? What does it say? Rejoice. Not some of the time, not when you feel like it, not when everything's going right, not when you don't have any issues. Rejoice always. Philippians, Paul said, rejoice always. And again, I say, rejoice. There's a great song out there. Rejoice, rejoice. Again, I say, rejoice. Bible says, rejoice always. That's a powerful, you know, come on, God. You really want me to be rejoicing always? And pray without ceasing. What do you mean? Well, I'm supposed to always be praying? Driving down the road, my eyes closed? I pray? How many of you pray driving down the road with the eyes closed? God help you if you do. What does that mean? You see, we put prayer in a box. We got this formula. We think prayer is a ritual. Prayer is something we do. No, prayer is an open communication between you and God. It's your awareness of God's presence in your life. He is always with you. Therefore, you are continuously, if you will, spirit to spirit, sharing and fellowshipping with God. Without ceasing. You should be aware of God's presence 24/7. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. That means He's always with you. That means you ought to be open to communicating with God and knowing His presence in your life all the time. All the time. Okay? There's another one. In everything, give thanks, for this is, come on, God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Oh, man. I got the word always. I don't like it when I hear people saying, well, My husband always does that. No, that's not true. Or you never. No, that's not true. But when God says something, he means it, right? So he tells us very clearly, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. Now, come on, God. Let's be real. You mean everything? Doesn't matter what it is? I am to be and have a spirit of thanksgiving towards you as my God? Oh, come on. How much difficulty is life anyway? Anybody here not have difficulties and problems and heartaches and questions and whatever? Anybody here not experience somebody doing wrong to you? I mean, in every aspect of it? And yet, what does everything include? I know it includes only what you want to put in there. Right? I mean, I can say this, or I can, no, I don't believe that's what it says. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is what? This is God's will. What is God's will? God's will is that you and I be a thankful people. That we are a thankful people. We're not grumblers. We're not fault finders. We are not blaming God. We're not blaming anyone. And everything that comes into our lives, we are thankful for it. So we rejoice always. You ought to have come in here on the Lord's Day with an opportunity with God's people to be able to lift up your voices and rejoice together. Let's rejoice in the Lord. And let's rejoice in Him always. And then think about it. Praying. Praying is awareness of God. That's all it is. It's an awareness of God's presence in your life. Doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing, you can always be confident, and now it's confident, that God says, I will never leave you, nor will I ever. Your body has become the temple of the Spirit of God. God dwells in you, doesn't He? And your spirit is to be having fellowship with the Spirit of God, whereby you cry unto Him, Abba, Daddy. That's the kind of relationship God wants with His children in every aspect of it. This is God's will, then, that I be thankful. Why are those words difficult, people? Because they're difficult for us. Believe me, in all the counseling I do, I share this passage of Scripture. God, people say, well, what's the will of God? What do you mean, what's the will of God? The will of God is that we be a thankful people. That's what His will is. And He has a reason for that, I'm sure. But I've had adversity, haven't you? I've had difficulties, haven't you? I've had issues in my life, so have you. Then why in the world would God ask me to be thankful for everything in my life? Why would He ask me that? Why would He even suggest such a thing? Surely, God doesn't intend for me to always be thankful. Surely, He doesn't think that I'm going to go around and be rejoicing and happy and bubbly and whatever. I got this bottom lip. It's got to be there for some reason. Right? Well, I don't know. And then I look into the Word of God and, wow. God's Word confirms that's what He wants me to be thankful. God's Word confirms that He wants me to be one who is rejoicing and glad and that He's my God and He's my Father. I mean, well, where do you find that, Bill? Oh, I think I found that in James chapter 1, verse 2, where it clearly says, brethren, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. When's the last time you read that? Is that confirming in the Word of God that I'm supposed to consider no matter what my diversity, what no matter what my situation is, no matter what my life is going through right now, I'm to look at it and consider it joy. That I'm dealing with this right now. I'm going through this right now. I'm having to get up every day and face this situation. And I'm going to face it, how? Rejoicing with joy. I'm going to be thanking God for it. Remember, don't ever forget this. It is God's will that you be thankful. Know what it said? So when we are thankful, what in the world, what does this all initiate within me? What happens in my heart when I am continually being thankful for what Marilyn went through, for what I have gone through? What happens in my personal life when I am and I maintain a grateful, thankful attitude towards my God? I have found that it makes me more and more aware of His presence. I mean, if God answers my prayer that I'm praying without ceasing and God answers it, doesn't that tell me something, that God is present? Doesn't that tell me that He is actively involved in my life? When God brings certain people into my life to encourage me, like they did when Marilyn was in the hospital, and here's Marie, here's Ray, here's different individuals, Sue and different ones, and they're sitting around the table and they're sharing that with me. Isn't that God with me? Are we not the body of Christ? When we're helping Leslie and we're helping Chuck and we're there for them, we're loving them, seeing them through this. Isn't that God's presence? Are we not the body of Christ? Are we not His hands, His eyes, His feet, His heart? So when I'm going through situations and I've dealt with them and you've dealt with Him and whatever, and God comes through different ways and different ways to bless me, it only makes me more and more aware of God's presence in my life. He's there. He always has been, and He will never leave me. He's never going to leave me out there in the branch, and He's never going to have the saw in His hand. A lot of people have had saws in their hands, right? Trying to cut the branch out from underneath you. And they rejoice in your fall. Thank God for those people who have learned. Encourage one another daily. Because the days are evil. Amen. I've seen that. Again, let me remind you, this is Hebrews 13, 5 through 6. You all know this, Hebrews. Well, you ought to. You know. For He Himself has said, who's He? God. God Himself has said this. I will never. What's that word never mean? Always? In everything? God says, I will never leave you. Whatever it is you're going through, I'm going to go through it with you. Now what He says? I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake, leave you alone. Isn't that what forsaking means? I'll never turn my back on you. I'll be there for you. You can count on me. Oh, wait a minute. Hebrew writer said, do not waver. Do not waver in your faith, for He who promised is faithful. Haven't you learned the faithfulness of God? I mean, when your seas are smooth, nothing going on, whatever. Isn't it when you are going through your difficulties and your struggles and your hardships and your losses that you find God's promises and how faithful He is? Yeah, you are. But can't you be thankful for that? That God's going to prove Himself to be faithful to you? Can't you be thankful that when you're praying that God's going to hear it and He's going to respond? Can't you be thankful for that? Can't you be thankful that you can rejoice knowing that God promises and what He's made to you is true, honest, upfront, and God is never going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. No matter what you go through, God's going to be there and He's going to see you through it, right? Isn't He? Yeah, He is. He promises that, does He not? So that is, again, when I evaluate all that things, then He says, then, because of God saying that, we can confidently say that God is my helper. I can confidently say that God is my helper, and I will not be afraid. Wow. That's pretty powerful words, isn't it, people? That I will not be afraid. Why? Because God is with me. All right? I think bringing thankfulness into my life and rejoicing in the Lord has motivated me and rejoicing always in the aspects of coming to the point where it has really increased and developed and laid a foundation of my faith. I walk by faith. I walk by faith. Faith comes by hearing. Isn't this book full of promises? Did not God say, did he not promise? In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he said that God is faithful and that he will never allow you to be tried above what you can endure, stand. But what he will give you a way to what? Escape, that you might endure it. You know how many times I use that verse in trying to help people, encouraging them? I can't use that verse and not have it encourage me. God is not going to, and I can be grateful. I can know and I can rejoice in the fact that no matter what I'm going through, God isn't going to allow whatever it is to overcome me. We are more than conquerors through him. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Neither death, principalities, powers, things present, things in the heavens, things in the sea, things that, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen? Nothing. I can rejoice in that, can I? Can I take joy in that? Can I be grateful then? What am I grateful for? I'm grateful that in my time frames of dealing with life, God has given me abundant life. That's what I'm grateful for. Motivates me to trust him more and to recognize that I'm totally dependent on him. If it doesn't do anything, being grateful makes me understand and know I am totally 100% dependent on God. Amen? I'm dependent. We are, whether we like it or not. It's in him we move and breathe and have our being. We are his offspring. There isn't a breath you take that God doesn't allow it. He could take it right now. You know that, don't you? He has that power and that ability. If he desired to, he could. Ananias and Sapphira, they just dropped dead at the apostles' feet, didn't they? If you have that kind of recognition of God and understanding who he is and the power of life as it is and the aspects of that, I think it's great. I really do. So I read Scripture and I understand Scripture and I contemplate every aspect of it because I know it's true. So as I go back to the book of James again and I see what James says, then I have to evaluate the whole context. What does it say in James chapter 1? What does it say? Well, listen to it. It says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." Anybody here not got stronger? Has not your endurance level risen as you have had to deal with trials? "Let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Haven't you grown and matured and become stronger in your faith as a result of seeing God deliver you, seeing God answer your prayers, seeing God move in all the circumstances of your life and the aspects of what he does? Considering it, the aspect. Well, how would you know his faithfulness? How would you know what God could do? How do you know what he's going to do in your life? How do you see his hands of deliverance? Because God is a great deliverer. He's the one who blesses. Oh, he's the one who says, "All things work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose." What is his purpose? "In everything, be thankful, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus." Be what? Everything? Come on, God. How is he going to prove himself to us? My granddad, remember, I quote him every once in a while, but granddad said, "Smooth seas don't make strong, good sailors. It's the rough sea." And God's rough seas of life, life is rough. Jesus said, "In this life you will have tribulation, but fear not, little one, for I have overcome the world." Isn't that what he warned us? Didn't he not tell us that we were going to experience that? Yes, he did. And we all do. None of us escape it. All right? But he goes on and says, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all generously without reproach, and that will be what? What do most people do when they're going through situations of life? Do they really go before God in prayer, asking God to grant them the wisdom that comes from above? It's the fear of God that is the beginning of wisdom. Why in the world do we not go to God humbly and get on our knees and pray for God to give us wisdom of how to deal with this situation of life? He says he'll give it to us. But then he goes on and says, we must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Thus saith the Lord. But whenever the situations you and I deal with in life, according to James, they're there for a purpose. Do you understand what I just said? God's purpose. God's purpose is to give to you a power of endurance. And through that endurance, you'll increase and your faith will be multiplied and grow and become stronger. And through that endurance level, it will produce and make you a whole, complete, mature man or woman of God. You grow through your situations of life. Amen? They either destroy you or they mature you. That's all there is to it. And I believe it's your choice what happens. So as you look at James and how we are to be thankful in all things, Romans chapter 5, verse 3 through 5. Now listen to these words. Do not, and not only this, he says, but we exalt. What does it mean to be exalt? Lift up. Encouraged. But we exalt in our tribulation, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Perseverance, proven character. Proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God is poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Oh, man. How many of you have really experienced the love of God when you're going through situations? I know God loves my wife. I know God loves me. I've seen my dad, stepfather, all the aspects of life. But I want you to notice something. He said, in everything give thanks, right? And then he warns, do not quench the Spirit. Ungrateful, murmuring, fault-finding people will quench, put water on, and put out the fire and the power of the Holy Spirit in their life. Now, if that's true, and you quench the Spirit, then how can the love of God be poured into your heart when you're going through problems? Where does love come from? Isn't it the Holy Spirit fruit, love? Well, what if I quench the Spirit? And if I've quenched him by murmuring and complaining and blaming God and blaming people, blaming circumstances, how can God then pour his love into my heart unless the Holy Spirit is alive and well inside of me? Oh, you remember? Psalms where David prayed, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit, a steadfast spirit in me. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't do it. Because you need God's love being poured into your heart through Him, the Holy Spirit, when you're being and going through tribulation. Now what it says? Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. So we're warned. And the aspects of that is so clear. And the point of thought is that if you quench that Spirit, then you're also quenching and putting out God's love that could be poured into your heart. Amen? Listen to these scriptures. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule your heart, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. I know it's Thanksgiving time, and you think I'm preaching a sermon on Thanksgiving. Okay, that's good. Colossians 2:6-7. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted, being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you are instructed, and overflowing with thanksgiving. Overflowing with gratitude, with thanksgiving. The aspects of that. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, you know what it says. It says, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. But that when you go to God in prayer, you go with God with supplications, and you go with God with prayer, it says, accompanied with thanksgiving. So when you approach God with ceasing, without ceasing, and the first thing it said was, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and be thankful in everything. So if you're going to approach God, how and what should you be your attitude? You should be approaching Him with a spirit and an attitude of thanksgiving. And then what does it say? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Anybody need that today? Huh? Yeah. And then whatsoever things are good and pure and lovely and have any virtue, any praise, let your mind dwell on those things. Now think about it this morning. My grandmother was bedridden for over 20 years with rheumatoid arthritis. People would come from New York all over the states to go visit my grandmother. I used to go up there and work in the summertime and stay with them. My mom wanted to get rid of me. But the point is, my grandmother was in that bed. She couldn't help herself, couldn't feed herself. I would feed Grandma. I'd take the food, and her little hands were so crippled and so maimed. And she was like, whatever. It took a man, two men, to lift her, to put her so she could use the bathroom. I mean, you think about it. You know what? I'd never met a woman to this day that was as thankful as my grandmother. This was her model. My grandmother was ridden and lame and in pain. She said, I am thankful, and I will always be thankful to God for my condition, because being thankful makes everything taste better. And I thought all the time, you know, when people came to visit Grandma, they came there to encourage her. No. As I've grown and matured, I realized that people went and saw her because when they left, they felt better. Because she never complained. She never griped. She never found fault. She's the one, when I was about 7, 8 years old, that put her hand, that wrinkly little hand, on my little hand and picked it up and said, Billy, I said, yes, someday you're going to be a preacher. Yeah, she did. I don't know if she was a prophet or mother of a prophet or grandmother, but she planted some seed. She did. And I believe today, because of my maturity, I can look at Grandma and I can say, I found her to be so thankful for everything, and I believe it came from her believing heart. She believed in God. She knew there was something better for her than what she'd been suffering for 20 years. There's no doubt about that. She's always talking about God, Jesus, and heaven. And she looked forward to it. And I know it was the fact that how she considered other people. She wasn't concerned about her heart. She was always considered about other people. They'd go there, and I remember sitting there, and she was always asking them the questions. Isn't that amazing? Seriously. And I often wonder, you know, why do these people, two different families from New York City, every summer would go all the way up north in Wolverine, out in the boondocks, two-track, out to see Grandma. I always wondered. Now I know why. She was medicine to their souls. They needed what she had to offer. They could look at her and all of her trauma and her struggles and feel the spirit of thanksgiving inside of her, that they couldn't walk out of there feeling sorry for themselves anymore. Not again. And I know that as I look at her heart and I looked at her life, She loved Grandpa. She was so grateful for everything he did and for everything Mom did and everything everybody did. And I can't tell you to this day how many times she told me how she thanked God for me. I won't forget those days. I can't let them forget my days because I struggle. We all do, don't we? But I'm standing up here in front of you healthy. I got rheumatoid arthritis. I don't have hardly any pain in my body at all when I get up in the morning. I eat and enjoy it. I can go calling. I can share my faith. I can walk with people. We can smile together. I can go hunting, hopefully, and the aspects of all of that, and get out in God's nature and enjoy it and whatever. 20 years she laid in a bed. I'm not going to be a complainer. She won't allow me to be a complainer. And you all know people like that. I want to be like that. How about you? I want to be that kind of a person. That people come to me to see me when I'm whatever, because they're going to leave better than what they were when they came. So let me close. Here's some statements that I am impressed with. Thank God for life by living it in its fullness. I don't care. Thank God for life. Live it to its fullness. Thank God for your talents by using them to bless other people. Thank God for what others have done for you by doing for others. Thank God for opportunities by using them to glorify Him. Not yourself. Don't look for a pat on the back. Don't brown nose people. Don't flatter people. You and I are in a ministry of glorifying God. And thanksgiving will allow that to happen. Thank God for His indescribable joy by giving joy to others. You know the formula. Joy. J is Jesus first. O is others second. Y is yourself last. So joy is putting Jesus first, other people second. Get yourself out of the picture, so to speak. Thank God for beauty by making the world beautiful. Thank God by giving hands, legs, and voice to your thankful spirit. Let's be a grateful people. I thank God for you. I thank God for everyone here. You're a blessing to Mel and I. We have many, many, many times told God how grateful we are for your love, for your lives, for all. And now we have an opportunity as other people within, we're to bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Leslie has a burden. Chuck has a burden. Let's be the body of Christ. Let's be the body that ministers and cares and shows the love of God to them through us as much as possible. Okay? So we're going to stand. We got a closing hymn that relates to what we've shared here this morning. And as we stand together and let's sing it together in the aspects to God be what? Why? Because great things He has done. He's delivered you many times from different adversities and problems and situations. It's His ministry. That's who He is. He delivered Israel, but they murmured and complained. Look at all the stuff He did for them. Look at all that He blessed them with. And you and I have the same thing. Open your eyes and see His glory and all that He's doing in your life. Let's sing it together.